I love the cabana. Yeah, it's been there forever, forever and ever. And Roy, who owns it and runs it, is just a real sweetheart. You know, and running a bar is hard. Running a bar that specializes in live music, that's even harder. You know, his heart is always there.
See the chains which bind men.
Hi, I'm Roy Brown. I'm a musician, and now I'm fortunate enough to be the governor of the Cabana Hotel for the last 4 years.
Yeah, I'm Lee Pritchard, and I'm a plumber by trade. I felt the passion one day to write a book on the history of the place, and gave myself a year to do the project, and pulled it off.
Tell me where we are now, Roy.
We're in the centre of the bar. This, you know, when I was younger, and Lee was younger, we used to get 400 people in this room standing up. In those days, there was no air conditioning units, and in those days, people were smoking. So I remember as an 18-year-old kid standing right where I am now, probably, watching people like Mitch Marsden and the Dance Exponents with condensation, with nicotine in the drops dripping onto the back of your neck, you know. So this bar, now it's regulated by Amos Barosh, so 250, I think, is about as far as we go, and that's pretty comfortable now.
And there's no windows. Are there windows behind anything here? So there was always no windows here.
I put the first window into the cabana, and that's the window there. It's double glazed. I put that in when I took over 4 years ago. The only other one window is in the men's toilet.
And that was the one that everyone used to gain entry to the place during. So they've been boarded up now, I think.
Next door, which is Toad Hall, these two buildings used to be interconnected by staircases and doors. We used to be able to go in and out, but now they're two separate identities.
So this was actually built as a purpose-built music room for that hotel. So Toad Hall was the original Hotel Cabana, is that right?
Yeah, that's right. The benefit of being on the circuit, of the touring circuit of the 80s and 70s and 80s, was the whole band could doss down. They'd be fed next door. They'd just walk down and do their gig at night, back up. You had bands playing the whole week. There was a band who made this place their own in the early 70s, about 1972, and they were called Movement, and they were from Wellington. They made more money here, coming here, than playing in Wellington, so they would do residency. They then became Freeway, with adding various members. And then Don Burns came, and who eventually morphed into My Sex. So you could call this the birthplace of My Sex. I would certainly say so.
Let's do it. Now, this is in the days before there was Sky Television, before there was computers, before there was all these other entertainment tools for kids. And if you wanted to go out, you went out on a Tuesday, Wednesday night, and you shot into town and saw a band.
Peter Rulich, used to be lead singer of The Dudes. We're talking late 70s when the entertainment calendar, you know, was really based around a lot of live music. There was a huge live music circuit, basically from Bluff to, you know, the Bay of Islands, really. But it was just full-on music in that period. That was the golden days of touring, you know. The 60s and 70s were really about live bands playing on basically a pub circuit, and you know, making lots of money for the breweries. Our manager decided to raise the standard for us anyway of touring, and used to demand that we be put into premium accommodation as opposed to the band house. But at the cabana, there was rooms upstairs, pretty ordinary little rooms, I must admit. But we used to have a lot of fun there, so we used to stay in the rooms and just enjoy the sort of character of the place. Each one of the accommodation rooms where we were staying had a big old sash window that, you know, you'd slide up and down. And when the front door was locked at midnight or whatever, the only access to the pub was via the fire escape and in through the sash window. So you'd be, you know, sort of half asleep, dreaming of rock and roll stardom, and all of a sudden you'd hear the big old window go up, and an unknown couple would come in and stand on your bed. Oh, sorry, mate, wrong room, and go out through the door and shut the door. And that, you know, that was just par for the course at the cabana.
Hi, I'm Debbie Howard, and I'm from Napier, the home of the cabana. It was the den of iniquity. So all the sailors that came through, all the big fishing ships and trawlers and everything that came in to that big port used to hang out at the cabana. And it was really a home of prostitutes and sailors. So it had this incredible sort of infamy about it, and quite sleazy but also incredibly wonderful. Go to sea, boy, get to sea, man. But it was run by a woman on her own called Charlie. She was salt of the earth. She was absolutely tiny. She used to have huge, bouffant blonde hair. I don't know how old she was. It's hard to tell when you're young, but I think she was probably then about 40, 45. Chain smoker. Rough as guts, in the sense that you did not mess with Charlie. The day I first met her, I was taking a band through, and I can't remember who it was. I'd already moved to Auckland at that stage. And I took my first band down and through the cabana, and I walked in, and she said, "Hello, love. So which one are you sleeping with?" And I said, "I'm not sleeping with any of them. I'm managing the band." She said, "Oh, that's what all the girls say." And that was my first introduction to her. And she loved the boys. She treated the boys, you know, when I say the boys, you know, the sailors and the dudes and all of them and Graham, like her children, like her son. She was, you never crossed her, but man, if she liked you, she was fantastic. She was a real character.
Shall we walk down to the stage? I was just talking to Andrew Gladstone as he came in to set up some drums, and he was saying that whenever you go on tour around the country, being used to the cabana, it's always a step down in terms of PA.
Well, I think, I don't know about the PA specs in the old days, but I know now, because I own all the gear now, that because bands aren't, on this stage, they're not bringing their own PAs in and out, and we have in-house engineers and some very, very, very good ones, starting in this last reign with the late Ian Morris, who was, you know, an absolute genius in sound, who did all this big soundproofing. And if we have a look later behind the stage, he built this bass trap just to stop the bass ripping up the hill and keeping the neighbours away. And because we've got people like Ron Kessels now behind that desk, and they're in-house engineers, they're getting the absolute maximum zing out of, you know, these are not great. I mean, it's only, you know, 8 or 10 grams worth of PA on this side. But because it's in here all the time, these guys can run it and run it to its absolute zenith.
For me, looking back, we used to come for the great night and come for the dance and come for the band and everything. I wonder what it sounded like back then. It would have been horrific.
My name is Sarah Bell. I'm a bass player and I live in Napier, and we've just played at the cabana.
What's the name of your band for the listeners?
A Twin Moon.
I have to apologise to you. I noticed for half of your set I'd been using your bass amp to put my guitar through, and I had pressed the bright button so that it would sound good with the guitar, and it took me till halfway through your set to unpress the bright button to sneak behind you. Did you notice that?
I did not notice you, no. I was in the zone.
You didn't notice the tone or anything not being deep enough?
Yeah, I noticed the tone. Yeah, it wasn't quite right. Yeah, it wasn't quite right. I knew there was something, and I had a little fiddle at some stage. I don't know if you noticed, and I was trying to fix the problem, but it didn't sound quite right, yeah.
It sounded much better when I hit the button.
Good, okay.
I'm Andrew Gladstone. I'm a musician living in Napier. I moved here in 2007, and at that time it just opened just as I moved here. It was really great timing, because otherwise it would have been, I probably wouldn't still been here.
Is it the kind of venue that you were used to? Is it familiar to you playing in bands in Auckland over the years?
It is. It's just probably a little bit better. I mean, there's some really good venues in Auckland, well, that I remember from a while ago, and But you would usually have to, if you wanted to do a big show, you would have to put in a little bit extra PA, a little bit more lights and stuff like that. They've got guys that volunteer here, so there's a good PA here and there's good lights. And then if you want to put on a bit of a show, you know, there's a guy called Dennis Newport. He just loves doing lights. And for a few beers, Dennis will come down here and do a full lighting show for you, and he'll do the whole lot. Or Darius, who's currently on tour, he tours with lots of the big festivals and stuff like that. But if he's not on one of those, he'll come down here and he'll spend all day building a stage show for you.
Well, hi, my name's Andrew McKenzie. I live in Hawke's Bay.
Andrew, I see your name gracing many of these posters. There's a lot of support slots in there. Are there any that stand out for you?
There's none that stick out for me. It's more just, there's only so many good bands in Hawke's Bay. Not enough to keep this place going. It's out of town guys we want to come through and then come through again. That's what you get when you come
unprepared. Tell me a little bit about how Ian came to the Cabana.
He just wanted to get out of Auckland like a lot of people did. And he wanted to be close to his father for a few years and ended up meeting a lot of people through the Music Machine, through Richard Jackman. And then when the six guys and seven guys, including Lee here, decided that, well, maybe we should get the Cabana up and running again, he was just on the scene. He put his hand up and said, I'll help you. And it wasn't so much as a financial thing, but it's just a sound knowledge thing. I mean, that was his. That became his thing.
It's a project, eh? Yeah, and he was more than keen to be part of it. Yeah. He wanted to play on the stage. He wanted to get it right. He'd come down here on a Thursday night for the Music Machine night and just rip through a whole pile of his own dude songs, you name it. And, you know, you were pretty gobsmacking to see him there on the stage just demanding it and owning it. And it was really quite special, eh? People walk in and hear, you know, right first time getting played on a Thursday night in Napier. It's hardly going to be Ian Morris, but sure as eggs it was, you know, it's him, it wasn't a cover.
I don't think he left Auckland to go to Napier to be at the Cabana, but I guess what happened was also he met a lot of like-minded locals there who really loved Ian, and I guess the idea came over a few drinks one night because it was, you know, a great venue. It had character, had a great room, enough to squeeze, you know, a few hundred people in, had a good stage. And as I said, it would always get a very colourful and vocal crowd who appreciated the rock and roll sort of values of, you know, excess and expression and a little bit of debauchery, I suppose.
And this, of course, is the green room.
And you can see all the autographs on the wall, Anthony.
Yeah, fantastic.
Now, the idea behind that was during the 70s and 80s, of course, this was just smothered with all sorts, much like the sea. During the 90s, unfortunately, they were all painted over. So we've recreated that with since the reopening of the Cabana. And the first autograph, I believe, was Hem & Gamble.
Oh, fantastic. 17th of May.
2008.
Work out who that is?
Steve
Kilby. Oh, he's one of my all-time heroes. Lead singer-songwriter from the church. He came through. Under the Milky Way
tonight. Back in the day, Hello Sailor, this was pretty much their home also. So just having a look over here on the autograph wall, I think I should make a mention. Hello Sailor came back in October 2010. And Dave McCartney's autograph there on the wall with a nice little quote. So.
Only dull people are brilliant at breakfast. Yeah, Dave McCartney, October 2010.
Green
Room, here up there. Yeah.
That was serendipitously, that was booked about 2 months out. But what happened 2 weeks before that gig was that Ian left us. Ian Morris. So that gig became this sort of cathartic sort of outpouring. People turned up, like, you know, Kim Wallaby came and Debbie Harwood came down, and it just ended up just being this sort of, we all knew what it was about, you know.
Yeah,
it was
they all got up and sang too.
Yeah, it was a real good night, and his name was mentioned a lot on the stage. It sort of ended up being a bit of a, you know, blowout for Ian.
He was one very special man. So the Cabana's up and running, and Roy's taken over the baton as far as, you know, managing it and getting it going, and his enthusiasm's incredible. And I know it's a tough road for them, it always is in that situation, but they just keep doing it. And I think that's so important, because when all the venues died in Auckland, so much about our culture and our character of our communities died, because that's where everyone gathered and that's where all the characters came out. And not to say that always worked, but we had somewhere to play.